Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about gifts, both natural gifts and spiritual gifts. Lots to say. And it's not my intention this morning to break those gifts down individually. They are multitudinal in dimension. And nor is it my intention to teach on the importance of each or to confuse matters further by talking about the fruits of the Spirit, which are often confused with the gifts as well. This morning, I want to talk generically about gifts, natural and spiritual, and to understand that all are God-given and can be used by Christians to serve Him, to build His kingdom, and to build each other up in the church. I want to say at the very beginning, there's a real joy in using the gifts that we have for His purposes. There's a real joy comes from that. It was Winston Churchill who said, "We make a living from what we get. We make a living from what we get, but we make a life by what we give." That's a real strong sentiment and a real challenging one. We make a living from what we get, but we make a life by what we give. So if you know Christ this morning, you know that to be true. Because you came to Christ, because someone somewhere used their gifts to bring you to a saving knowledge of Himself. Someone used their gifts to bring you to where you're at this morning. God created us with unique abilities, and He gave us an undeniable calling. We have a purpose as Christians, and it's a purpose that Christ knew about before we were actually born. He knew who we are, what gifts we would have, how we would use them. He knew that before we were born. Now, I want to unpack this idea of gifts, both spiritual and natural, a little bit further, so that we might understand how our natural gifts and our spiritual gifts relate. Now, God gives natural gifts to all people. He does that because He wants all people to live good and fulfilled lives. He wants all people to flourish, so He gives all people natural gifts. However, when Christ becomes our Redeemer and Lord, God gives us what are called spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts are for the strengthening of the church and the advancing the cause of Christ in the world. To put it another way, natural gifts are ours by physical birth, while spiritual gifts come by spiritual birth. Now, there's a question which arises from all that, the question is, can God use natural gifts as spiritual gifts? Can He use natural gifts as spiritual gifts? Well, the answer to that is yes, but we shouldn't assume that that will always happen. For natural gifts to be used spiritually, they must be submitted to Christ for His use. They must be submitted to Christ for His use. It requires dependence upon the Spirit of God to make a natural gift spiritually useful or fruitful. Because it's for Christians, our natural gifts become spiritual gifts through the enabling power of God's grace and through our own self-sacrifice. Paul begins Romans 12 passage by urging believers. He says this, by urging the believers, he says, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, that's including our gifts, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The offering of our gifts, natural and spiritual, is our true and proper worship, Paul says. There's elements of self-sacrifice there. This gift is not just for my pleasure, not just for me to make me wealthy, to make me known, to buff myself up with pride. That's not what the gift's for, natural or spiritual. But when we say this gift is for God, it takes self-sacrifice to do that. This conversion requires humility. It takes a changing of the mind from that the world would have us believe. You know, we live in difficult times. But when was it ever easy? But let's say we live in difficult times when individualism is running rife, when me and my needs come first, and community and strangers take second place. See, the Christian premise reverses all of that. It turns all that on its head. It says God first, others second, and self last. That's the Christian ethos. Now that's out of vogue today, but it needs to be re-emphasized in the church. And we can do that in one way, by using our easily recognizable natural gifts and what we do with them. You see, the ultimate purpose of God's natural gift is to bless and build up others, sending a message to the world about how we relate as brothers and sisters, how we relate to other people. Again, Paul says to the Romans, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or as J.B. Phillips graphically translates this verse, he says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. That's maturity in Christ. You see, too often Christians have allowed ourselves to be persuaded to adopt the values of the world, and we use these as their yards, and we use these as our yardstick. When in fact we should be acting as transforming agents to encourage the world to accept and confirm biblical values. One way we can do that is to use his natural gifting in a humble, self-sacrificial, spirit-filled way that turns worldly priorities on its head. Using our natural gifts. It's not an easy task. And it's never finished, because God has no grandchildren, and each generation of Christians needs to be faithful in taking up that challenge and taking up the mantle of encouraging others to embrace the faith. I want to come towards at the end here by saying, what are the things that keep us from giving our abilities to God? What are the things that actually may be stopping us from doing that? Well, there may be others, but I've got three. Fear of rejection. I'm not good enough. Or someone else can do it better than me. What if I make mistakes? Fear of failure. What if it doesn't work out? Will I look foolish? Fear of commitment. Will it get out of hand and will I have no time for myself? You know, heaven has its own rewards for those who commit themselves and their gifts to the building of his kingdom. We shouldn't be limited by what others think of our abilities, or even what you yourself think about your abilities. Because our God is a God of all possibilities. He knows about our fears. He knows about our failures. His love makes saints from sinners, and it makes heroes from cowards. He makes good from whatever we offer him. He makes good. And as we submit ourselves to him, yes, we make mistakes, but we learn and we grow. Our failures should be a springboard to future success with God, and not a millstone around our necks to crush us. Remember, Scripture says loudly and clear, we are made for good works, and our Lord has beautifully equipped us for just such tasks. As I said earlier, using our gifts for the kingdom of God requires humility and self-sacrifice. It doesn't require pride and boasting or selfishness encouraged by the world. The ultimate goal is for us to be part of God's transformation, working with him about bringing others to a saving knowledge of himself. Now, I know Sandy Baptist Church has newly accepted a God-given vision, knowing, growing, and sharing God's love. You know, that vision can really only be fulfilled by everyone using the gifts, natural and spiritual, that they have. Allowing ourselves to know Jesus in all of his fullness, growing in maturity, and then sharing our gifts with each other in the church and outside. If you know Christ, you have a gift to be used in kingdom building. Don't waste it. Because one day we will have to give account for how we use what God has given us. We have to give an account. So finally, in conclusion, I want to say, if you're not sure what your gift is, identify it. You can do that in many ways. One way is to ask somebody else, what do you think my gift is? You know me well. What do you think I'm equipped for? What's my gift? What do others think your gift is? I remember some years ago engaging in a conversation with a young man over on a number of occasions. And he was struggling with what his gift was. And as I got to know him, he started telling me stories about how he worked in an office and he got the bus every morning to his office. And he started telling me stories about how even the people at the bus stop, let alone at work, would share all sorts of things with him about their lives. Things which you wouldn't expect people to normally share. But they would open up to this young man And presumably because they had confidence in him, they saw that he had some gifts, they liked what he had to say in response, if he said anything in response. But clearly that man had a gift of listening. Such an important gift, to listen to people when they talk. Because if you don't listen, then you can't really offer any advice. So what do other people think of your gift? Serve in an area that needs you. You see, Scripture says, if you're faithful in the small things, then greater things will come your way. Hallelujah. Faithful in the smaller things, then greater things will come your way. Have a look at that in Luke 16. You see, the Bible does remind us that when we don't use our gifts and abilities, the whole body suffers in some way. There is a gap. There's a gap which you, only you, are uniquely equipped to fill. And if you don't fill it, that's a gap which remains. Let us pray. Before I pray, I want to say, if you are asking yourselves about what's my gift, I do have a questionnaire, which I have some copies of, which you can have. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's not the, you know, don't leave it at that. But it's a starting point to identify your gift. You can complete it yourself. Be honest about it. Honest where you're at, not where you would like to be at. Where you're at. You could give the questionnaire to somebody else to fill in about you. But the ultimate aim is to help you identify your gifts. So Lord, we thank you that you do call us to be your servants. You call us to be co-workers with you in the building of the kingdom. But you don't leave us bereft. You don't leave us with no tools. You give us everything that we need to be the people you want us to be. So Lord, I pray that your people here this morning might embrace all of that and find their place, their rewarding place, their good place in the building of your kingdom. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.